Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode number 179 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. You're joined by me, Al, hello, and Anton. Hello, Anton.
Hello, Alistair. It's great to be back once again. And what about the Mike Watch? Where about in the world is he this week?
Well, we've not got Mike yet again. This week, Mike is sitting at a microphone waiting to record a podcast.
Hello, I am
Mike,
back.
You're back, buddy.
I am here and looking very much forward to talking about all things Nintendo Switch. And yes, hello. How are you both?
I mean, I'm groovy. I'm much better for hearing your voice, Anton.
Thank you.
Doing very, very well. You know, I think I wouldn't have survived if we didn't have that direct special, but it's incredibly exciting to have you back. And I think the number one question is, my God, how many, what Switch games playing you play Switch still? What's the deal?
That's a question?
It might have been Dothraki, but we'll go with it. Yes, I have been playing a lot of Switch, Anton, but I've also bought way more games than I've had time to play. I think what's happened is, in all seriousness, I've had 10, 11 weeks of, you know, fairly a lot going on. And what I've done is to make myself feel better, I have this habit of spending money, and it's 95% of the time on Switch games, which is exactly what I've done. So I've bought an awful lot of games. The backlog of games is ridiculous. I was told to change that by one of our Patreons from backlog to collection, and I much prefer that because I have literally bought so many games. So I started playing Eastward, which I've really been enjoying. It's been fantastic. I have a physical copy of that I'm very excited about. I have Wonder Song. I've bought the first two Life is Strange games. I've got, what else did I buy? There's so many.
Can I just ask, before this whole episode when you disappeared for a while, how many drawers of Switch games did you have? Was it one or was it
two? I've got four now.
Yeah, you've got four. You doubled your collection.
Yeah, that's not even talking about the eShop deals that I picked up because there's been so many of them. Wonder Song, I must say, I recommend thoroughly. If you see that in a deal, I've really enjoyed that so far. I'm not that far through it yet, but I've enjoyed it so far. There's heaps of games that I've bought. The other one, what's the big narrative one that everyone talks about that came to the Switch that is?
I mean, there are many, Mike. That's not narrowing it down in the slightest.
Yeah, it's one that's really widely acclaimed, and the Switch got a version that got voice acting for the first time, and now all the versions have been updated with voice acting, and I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, I've got that. That's on my list. I'll tell you what it is next week.
Great story. Well done.
Thank you. And if you do want a great story, I did a review as well. So I've come back with a bang. I've not just come back on the podcast. I've actually come back and done some work for once because I'm about the only person that hasn't done a review this year. So I did one, and it's a game called Caffeine Victoria's Legacy. Is that right? Did I call that right?
Yes, that's right. It's not Victoria's Secrets, it's Victoria's Legacy.
Wait, I have to take a second. It's not. It's actually pretty good in that sense. There is romance involved, but if you want to go and check out the review, then it's on our YouTube page. And I have to say, it's a very well-crafted visual novel. It was a Kickstarter, and I think it shows that they've put a lot of effort and love into it, so well worth checking out, and it's pretty cheap on the eShop. But yeah, I've been playing so much. I also got to try out the new Mario Kart tracks for the first time today. Literally today I thought, you know what, I haven't even done that yet, and we're about to get wave three, and I'm catching up with wave two. But yeah, great and great fun. I mean, you can't really go wrong with Mario Kart, but the amount of games I have is sickening. My collection was about 450 before I went on my break in total. I think I've probably added 100 to that.
Good Lord. I mean, I was round at your house, it was last week, 2 weeks ago, and we were looking through your Xbox library, which is probably about as big. It's how? Why, Mike? Why? But
the Xbox library, at least most of that's Game Pass, so, you know, it's not, I don't own them as such. But yeah, unfortunately, I've got a problem. But I'm okay with it because, you know what, there are worse problems to have in the world, and if I buy Switch games and never play them, it's a collection. It's not a backlog. It sounded very Alan Partridge there. Anton, what have you been playing this week?
Oh, so yeah, basically the entirety of the time you've been away, I have just been playing one game, and that has been Rogue Legacy 2. I have moved from rank 190 to rank 224. I have completed two mini bosses to get on to a final boss doing the final boss. Unless there's a surprise final boss, which I don't know about. But I'm slowly getting there. It's
wow.
Been quite a quest. But how about yourself, Alistair? What have you been playing this week?
You know what? I've kind of let the side down. I haven't not played the Switch. I played about half of a level of LEGO Jurassic Park with the kiddo. But I have a confession. I was on the train this week for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours down to Edinburgh, another two and a half hours back up to Edinburgh. In between, I actually met up with Anton, which is very cool, but that's a whole other story we'll talk about in Last Call, which is the show we do for the patrons. But yeah, I spent the entire time with the Switch in my bag reading an ebook instead.
Goodness me.
Perfect gaming opportunity. And I read. What's wrong with me?
I know what's wrong with you. You had a big birthday recently. That's what's wrong with you. And you've suddenly just become even older than you were the last time we did this podcast.
Yeah.
I think you might be right.
I think this is where you went wrong. Audiobooks are perfect for gaming. Sadly, we don't have a sponsorship, so I can't even plug it. But yes. That would have been perfect because just listening and playing double
but
the
you
media.
See, Anton. Yeah, but I get that because I'm a big audiobook fan. I love an audiobook. I love a book as well, to be fair to Al. I love an ebook or a physical paper book. I know that's very old-fashioned of me, but here we are. But I also can't imagine trying to combine an audiobook and focus on a game at the same time. It's just too hard because my brain can only cope with so much. I listen to audiobooks when I'm driving and that's hard enough. So I don't want to confuse it with two different sources of story.
And maybe do something like Mario Kart while listening to a book, I guess.
Yes,
because
yes.
That's mostly muscle memory. It's like, yeah, I'm an overdrive
or FIFA.
Here.
I could do FIFA.
Yeah, I could probably do that. But anything you've got to pay attention to, anything that had some sort of story or puzzles to it, could not do if I was trying to focus on a book.
I need to tell you really quickly my funny story about Kirby, because I have been, as you know, was playing Kirby last time we talked, and I did get to play more of it. I don't think I've actually finished it, well, very close to the end. But I, for about 3 weeks, was just so gutted that I'd lost the cartridge. And I've, as you know, Al, as you've mentioned, I've got quite a few games. So I was kind of, what have I done with it? And I really couldn't figure it out. And I messaged Al a couple of times and I was saying, I'm going to need to borrow your Kirby so I can finish the game. Turns out it was in the Switch.
It's the gamer's equivalent of, where are my glasses? Oh, they're on my face.
Literally. So, you know, it hands up. That was all on me that time.
And you've not even hit the big 4-0 yet. You have no excuse.
I'm not even hit the big 3-0. Anyway, with that, let's... do we have anything else we need to mention before we move on to our this week's news?
Nah, we've got a lot to talk about. We also have a return of a quiz because we've got all of us
here.
I know. So let's just
crack on. What's the score in the quiz?
The score at the moment is Anton's on 9, you're on 8. So it's
all right.
All to play for here.
Yeah, let's see if any of my brain cells are still intact. When I say still intact, are intact for the first time. We'll find out. It's time for the news.
Tell us.
Interesting one, this one. Cyactro have announced Super Kiwi 64 for the Nintendo Switch. It's a 3D platformer collectathon, and it's coming out on December this year. So, yeah, what a name. Super Kiwi 64, Anton. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that they even are allowed to do that. But it's fun, and it looks kind of fun.
Indeed. I won't lie, there is something dirty about putting games with 64 in the title. Not on the N64, but I'll let it slide because in every way of the imagination, it is an N64 game. It is basically Banjo-Kazooie. If you like that game, you're probably going to love this one. Collectathons are a little bit dated, but this one embraces it. As someone from the N64 era with a strong love for that style of game, how are you feeling about it, Al?
I honestly don't. No, I've watched this trailer several times over trying to decide. In theory, I should love it. It's a collectathon. As you said, it looks very Banjo-Kazooie in its aesthetic and the way the game works. But I keep watching it going, it looks a bit dull. There's not really a whole lot going on. There's no life. There's no other characters really in it other than one that you see briefly, but they don't really seem to interact with. It's just the character running collecting things, and that's all they've shown us. If that is them putting their best foot forward, I'm a little bit worried. Although, interestingly, they are releasing a prequel to this game at the same time, which I kind of think is novel. It's called Beanie, and you are basically what looks like a massive, great, big, squishy bumblebee bouncing your way up a 2D platforming tower-type thing, from what I can gather. I like the idea of releasing that prequel at the same time, but I can't say I'm particularly getting excited about the game itself, Mike.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It has got a kind of bare look about it, but I do like just the fun 64-bit kind of vibe of it. And I think if the price is right for it, I think it'll probably do okay. It's one of those that I would pick up in the sale. If I see it massively reduced in the sale, depending on what the original price is, I would probably pick it up. And I quite like collectathons. I still like them today. And actually, I'll probably end up buying it, because you know what I'm like. But we'll see what happens. December this year, it does come out. You get a chance to check it out, and we'll probably talk about it again at some point near the time. Domo Studios have announced Juan Sword 7 for the Nintendo Switch. Is that how you say it? East Asia Soft have published this one. It's a cinematic action RPG set in ancient China. It's coming out 2023. I think this one was out on the PS4. And it's what is really interesting about it is graphically, it really looks like it pushes the PS4 to its limits. So I'm really interested to see what this looks like on the Switch, Anton.
Indeed, this is a very impressive title. It's got an interesting blend of very detailed worlds with slightly kind of maybe like 7th-gen models. It's a good-looking game. It came together very, very well, and especially from a newer studio. What I quite like about it is it kind of reminds me of the cutscenes from like a Dynasty Warriors game, of the sort of combat and the kind of mythology that those kind of games present. But yeah, I think the big question in my mind, Mike, is exactly what you're saying, is how well will this title run? Because it's a little intense. I'm hoping it isn't a case of closer to the time they announce it as a cloud version. I hope it is the authentic full fat game we're getting here on Switch.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, I don't think it's really a contender for a cloud version, is it? I mean, it really shouldn't be. It doesn't mean it's not going to be. We've seen plenty of games that have come to us in the cloud that really shouldn't be in the past. However, I think we could port it. With a couple of downgrades, I think this could port relatively well. I mean, this is a pedigreed series. These games have been around since the 1990s. It's just that we rarely see them in the West. I think this is only the second, I'm going to say, of that series that's ever been with us. As you say, Mike, it was Xbox One and PS4 that appeared on. And now we're getting our port, 2 years later? They've had plenty of time to port it, and so long as they've got a decent team doing it, then this could be an awesome little addition to our platform. But
yeah, it's a late cycle one, isn't it, for the last gen? So it's going to be interesting to see how it does run on the Switch, and maybe that's a good thing, because they've had time to figure out on those consoles how it might run. And as you say, it should really run pretty well on the Switch, but we will see. It's going to be coming out next year, so we've got a bit of time, and they've got a bit of time to figure it all out. By the way, before we move on to the next news story, I do remember one game that I did finish on the Switch over the last 6 weeks or so, and it's not a long game, it's only a few hours long, but it's very funny, and we've talked about this. Do you remember we talked about a game called Say No More?
Yeah,
and it was all about working in a company and how you had to learn to say no, and the only thing you did in the game was say no to people, literally say no. So they would say, "Oh, make me a cup of tea," and you go no, and then they would go,
"I remember this." Yes,
yes.
Yeah.
So I got this in one of the eShop sales.
Of course you did.
And I finished it. It's really funny. It's a great little game. Like, if you want a kind of palate cleanser from some of the big adventures that are out there at the moment, check it out. If it comes on sale again, definitely buy it. I don't regret buying it at all. And I'd probably even play it again, because it's ridiculous. It's just so stupid. But very funny. So I'm gonna recommend that one. It's a solid 7.5 out of 10. There we are. You've got it. You're already into the game. Next up, sorry, Anton, before we go on, you remember this game, right?
Indeed. Yeah, this was like, I think this one is so far back, it was in an indies showcase, never mind an indie world. It's an OG.
I think you're right. Very, very funny game. Glowfish Interactive have announced Trifox for the Nintendo Switch. It's published by Big Sugar. It's a top-down 3D platformer with shooting elements, coming out on the 13th of October. So not long to go, just 11 days from time of recording. And yeah, I thought this one, I have to say, this one looks pretty well rounded. I like the look of this. I like the kind of ratchet and clankiness of it, Anton. And I'm hopeful that this might be good. It's all going to be about price, I think.
Yeah, I think you're on the money there, because everything here looks very, very good, but it hasn't quite captured my imagination in any space. It looks polished, but you know, the characters, the gameplay hasn't quite hooked me, and I think the emphasis on platforming is a little bit lost when you do it in top down. It's a bit of an odd mix. I'd love to be super impressed, or you know, pick it up and find out that it's something more than I'm presuming at the moment, but right now I'm skeptical of this title. But there's nothing particularly wrong from what I'm seeing so far. You feeling more positive, Al?
Maybe. I'm actually not sure, yet again, where I stand on this one. I like the fact that the main character can be played as three different personas. There's a warrior, an engineer, and a mage. And then sometimes you can combine them to make a mage warrior, or an engineer mage, or whatever combination you're going to put them together in. But I can't help watching this thinking, it's like they lifted the animation from Overcooked and plonked it into 3D action, kind of top-down, it's not really a platformer, an action game, I guess. It's really kind of cute and adorable, but at the same time, it's got that slightly wacky and almost slowed down animation to it that looks like it might be controllable for someone rubbish at games like me. I wouldn't mind giving it a shot, in all honesty. What about you, Mike?
Similarly, I'm kind of interested in how this one goes. I'm not blown away by it, but I'm also not put off by it, if that makes any sense. And it's one that I like the name, Trifox. I think that's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. Very kind of 90s, early 2000s. And I think it looks well done and well crafted. It's $19.99, so I'd assume it's going to be similar in terms of pounds at the moment. But either way, I think if it comes, if it hits a sale, unless it's getting, you know, 9 out of 10s consistently, it's probably when I'm gonna bite on that one. But I think it looks good. I think I know what you're saying though, Anton. It's there is something about it that it's not blowing me away yet, but it's out in 11 days time, so I guess we'll get to see more when it does get released. Next up, Indigo Studios have announced Charon's Staircase. This is specifically for Al, I think, for the Nintendo Switch. It's published by Sodesco. It's a first-person horror mystery game. Anton, what's your take on it?
Yeah, this one's quite interesting. It, you know, vaguely reminds me of the kind of walking kind of horror style of PT, but unlike what that had just purely as a demo, this one is a little bit more developed. It's set in the 1970s. You're playing as like an agent, and it's kind of set in a slightly Big Brother universe. And what I quite like about that is it isn't just you've wandered into a random place that you shouldn't have, and now you're just kind of vibing in danger. You have a goal of uncovering these conspiracies, shall we say. And I think that frames the horror in quite a nice way, that it isn't just that you've went into a big spooky house and now there's something trying to kill you. You've purposely went into danger with an important goal, and I think the slight detective elements combines quite nicely with the horror mechanics of just taking the environment in slowly, of you know, looking around and really taking in your environment, which, since it's been put together so nicely, is nice to see.
I'm not too scared of this one. For once, I looked at this and went, I can maybe handle that. But it's really hard to tell because the game trailer, the announcement trailer, doesn't really show you much. There's one little fleeting moment when something runs through a bit of light and you go, ooh. But it wasn't sort of too scary. It wasn't too creepy, but it depends what the rest of the game ends up being. And I quite like this, to be honest. I'm never going to play it, but it's going to be out in time for Halloween. So if you're looking for a little bit of a sort of slightly creepy start to your Halloween-y season, for want of a better word. I'm sure there's a better description for that. Mike will come up with it. He's good with them Englishy words. But I think it could be one that's worth watching.
If you want a Sudesco scream, then this is the one for you. This is the game, I think. Yeah, I think timing-wise, this is pretty good. You know, coming out just before Halloween, that's probably going to be the key to it, to be honest, because it's not one that I think... It doesn't give away a lot, the trailer, and it's probably the right thing for this kind of game. And it does remind me a bit of some of those kind of walking simulator type games for sure. But it's creepy. It's got pretty nice art, I think. So I'm definitely intrigued by it. Again, it's price point. If it's cheap enough, I'd probably buy it and play it on Halloween just for the scare, you know. But it's cool.
I'm waiting for Ozzy Osbourne to be in the background. So we're going, Sharon!
Charon! The staircase, Charon! Xbox Game Studios have announced the Elder Scrolls Skyrim Anniversary Edition, published by Bethesda Game Studios. I've been seeing a lot about this week.
We are shocked and surprised. We did not know that this was coming at all.
Yeah, well there's been, as you might have guessed, Alistair was using sarcasm there, because there's been a lot of rumours. The anniversary upgrade includes pre-existing and new Creation Club content like quests, dungeons, bosses, weapons, spells and more. It's out now for $59.99 or $17.99 as an anniversary upgrade, which is slightly more palatable, but still, for a game this old, a little expensive. The problem is that lots of people have been reporting that there's all sorts of problems and bugs with this in week one, and that's a real shame because it's an amazing game. It's a piece of art, it's a piece of history in video game terms. It's great that we have the anniversary edition. I would have said £10 for an upgrade and £30 for the whole thing would seem a little bit fairer. In fact, I still think that's quite expensive, but I still think that would be a lot better than the price they're asking for this. But it is an amazing game and people will still buy it. Anton, where do you sit with it all?
Yeah, I think I'm with you with the price is the main one, especially the cheek to try and skate with out of the pricing conventions of a Nintendo Switch game. You know, I think if it was a case of this launched for the $44.99 that every Switch game or AAA Switch game launches for, and then the existing version of Skyrim gets bumped down to like £30, I could understand that. But trying to charge £60 for a game from 2011 is ridiculous. And especially when this is a lot of just community content that they've went ahead and then combined into a collection. Pretty ridiculous. I think it makes a little bit more sense for console users. I imagine on PC, when you could have just modded it yourself, it would be a hard sell on that platform. But I guess for someone that's done everything and anything in Skyrim, maybe this is the equivalent of taking your car and, you know, screwdrivering the mileage to take it back a little.
Which we've all done, right?
Of course. Totally. Yeah.
We've all been there.
So cool.
I think I can summarize my thoughts on this more in a sound than anything else, and that sound would be, imagine like a little terrier
constipation. Oh,
that's
see
how I feel about this. I'm just so annoyed at them. It's just bad manners, frankly. This is bad manners on Bethesda's behalf, charging £60 for, as Anton says, an 11-year-old game that they've put some shiny bits on that they've nicked from other people is just wrong. I'm sorry, but it's wrong, and it makes me really, really angry. Particularly when you can go play this game already pretty much anywhere else in a billion and one other ways. Just stop it.
So, okay, are you going to buy this one, Al?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, people have, as I mentioned, they've been experiencing all sorts of problems already, frame rate drops and poor frame pacing and crashes and all sorts of problems.
Which makes it all the worse. It's reprehensible.
Yeah, I tend to agree, to be honest, and I don't generally go quite as hard as you do on these kind of things, but I just think, come on, get a little bit more fair than that. I mean, Skyrim has definitely made money over the years. I don't think we need to be doing this, but here we are. The Nintendo Switch Online app has, do you remember that? Has added various new widgets for iOS and Android focused on Splatoon 3. Now that includes battle log, stage schedule, current gear and album. That is the one game that the app has always kind of supported quite well, as Splatoon. It's just a shame it doesn't support any other games ever.
Yeah,
I just don't see the point in the app. I mean, do either of you guys even have it? I'm sure we talked about this before.
I did have it, but I don't think I have it anymore.
I deleted it years ago. I generally went, this is pointless, and deleted it.
Completely there with you. It's been deleted for a good while there. I went to go check out these widgets. I was like, oh, I don't even have it. It's yeah, the widgets are cool. I think, as you say, Mike, the Splatoon has always been one of the best supported franchises of this, and the widgets are really handy, especially the stage scheduler one. The only critique I've got is I gave it a wee go, and some of the padding in the UI is a little bit loose, or not loose, tight, shall we say. It's basically right up to the edges, which was a little bit, I would have expected better, and you know, for the work you've done, but hey-ho, I'll take it.
But it all feels like an afterthought, and I think this is Nintendo's problem with a lot of the online stuff, not necessarily some of the stuff that we'll talk about later with Mario Kart and things, but certainly with the app, it just feels so half-baked, and it's because Nintendo don't really need to do very much. They don't need to sell it because, you know, they're Nintendo, they're doing okay anyway, but it just annoys me when they don't just put a bit more effort into it.
Well, I don't quite understand why they do it the way they do, because either they want the app because they want to gather data, they want to be able to see who's playing it and how they're playing it, and they want that information. So you'd think if they wanted that information, they would do it well to encourage people to do it. If yeah. they're doing it badly, it almost suggests that they don't care, so why are they bothering to do it in the first place? It's like they don't actually have a clue what they're doing with mobile apps, and that, to be fair, isn't their main focus. Their main focus is making video games and selling Switches, and they've got a couple of mobile games. But when it comes to apps and gathering data, that's not really what Nintendo do.
Yeah. I think what's especially sad about it is the Nintendo, out of the big three, four if you want to throw in Valve and Steam, is the most...
not Stadia.
Not anymore. It's the most app-dependent of all of them, with their voice chat not even being integrated into the platform. However, they also have the most primitive app for the shared functions that go across all three, such as voice chat, which is far more primitive in the Nintendo Switch Online app compared to the Xbox and PlayStation apps. It's just disappointing.
Yeah, it's all a bit poor, really. But it's good for Splatoon players to have the option, at least. And yeah, as I said, just a shame we don't get more options with the app, which I'd forgotten about until this story came up. Cuphead is getting a physical release, including the Delicious Last Course DLC. It's coming to iam8bit.com and digital. That is great because Cuphead is a classic game. It's fantastically well done. It plays really well on the Switch, and the DLC is also just as good. So I think there's going to be a lot of people that will want this for their collection. The problem I've got here, Anton, is are people going to be able to get it?
Yeah, so a little mistake there in the notes. It will also be coming to retail, which will be quite nice. So iam 8-bit
okay,
and retail.
Okay, cool. Not just, okay, I see what you mean. So I thought maybe it was going to be a bundle as a digital option, which I guess you can do by combining them. But no, it's a retail one. So that's good news then, Al, because that was going to be my big concern, was that is it going to be like a limited run type situation where the prices get artificially bumped? But it appears that we should be able to get our hands on it if we want it.
Everybody can get some incredibly frustrating Cuphead goodness. And to be fair, yes, it is an incredibly frustrating, wonderful game. And if you enjoy a challenge, then it's definitely worth seeking out. And if you can get it in physical, why wouldn't you? Because it means you can either treasure it forever and play it after eShops are long since gone, or you can trade it and get the value, like I probably would.
Yeah, I know you would, and I would put it on my shelf. Mario Kart Tour, this is one for Al. It's getting battle mode on, 2 days' time from when we record, so Tuesday the 4th of October, and it will include the Game Boy Advance Battle Course 1 and the GameCube?
GameCube, yeah.
Yeah, Cookie Land. So interesting one with Cookie Land, because GameCube that'll be Double Dash, right? Is that right?
Yes.
That's America? Yeah, yeah. Which is it kind of throws me whenever we get a GameCube one because it's Double Dash and we never had anything like that in Mario Kart apart from that particular one version. So, but it's a good level and I played a lot of it. So that's kind of cool. And battle modes, Al, how are you feeling about that? Are you gonna battle out on Mario Kart Tour? I kind of feel like that might actually work quite well on Mario Kart Tour.
Yeah, I am psyched for this. I have no idea how good it's going to be. I was always a fan of battle mode. In fact, when I was younger, I much preferred battle mode to the racing mode. And in later life, I sort of flipped and I prefer racing. Not such a big fan of battle anymore. I have no idea why that is.
I think that I've got a theory on that just really quickly. I think it's maybe to do with the development of how good the experience of racing is now compared to what it was before. I think it was always okay. And it's amazing at the time, but I think when you look back and you play some of those early Mario Karts, the SNES and the N64, it's a little bit of a tough sell now.
You're probably right, but at the same time, I feel the battle mode's evolved in a different way as well. So if you take the Mario Kart 64, which is what I played a lot of battle mode in,
so did
in
I.
there it was just sort of you and your mates in the course, and you drive around, you bash each other, and it was quite good fun. The courses were tight, and it was all really good and simple. Whereas now, if you take the battle mode in Mario Kart 8, there's so much going on. The levels are huge, and it's a very different experience, and it's just one that I don't enjoy as much. Whereas I really like the racing.
I think another reason, just very quickly, might be the advent of online gaming. Because actually, when you play online in battle mode, as you said, it's not the same as when you used to have that GoldenEye experience of everyone around the same console.
The same screen, and you could see where people were by just looking at the screen, which actually, it was an intrinsic part of how you played. It was it was tactical, and I liked that aspect of it. So I can't wait to see how this plays out, because I do still love my Mario Kart Tour and do genuinely play it every single day, and this is going to add just a new depth to it, so bring it on.
Yeah, Anton, I'm assuming you don't play Mario Kart Tour, do you?
No, I'm yet to play. I've avoided it up until now, but it will be interesting to see it, because I know with a lot of touch-based racing games, is they kind of tighten up the controls, so it's not as sensitive. So I'm going to be interested to see, when it isn't like a set track, how that will fare in terms of control schemes and flexibility.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's going to be very interesting to see how much control you actually have, because obviously with Mario Kart 2, the whole point is you can play it with one hand. And I think there's potential for it to be very good, but there's also potential for it to be kind of pointless. But I think it'll do a good job. They've done a good job with the game in general, so I've got high hopes that it will be good. I'm sure Al will report back very soon. In fact, probably next week, I'd imagine.
Guarantee it.
Next up, Assassin's Creed has a new Anniversary Edition Mega Bundle, and it includes the Rebel Collection, the Ezio Collection, and Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered. Now, all these games are great games, and they are good collections. The worst probably being on the Switch, being probably 3 Remastered is probably the poorest in terms of the versions.
I'm trying to think, how many games are in that bundle total? Is that 7 main games plus the DLCs?
7 main games, 1 Rebel. Yeah, I think that works out about right. But it's $99.99. Now, listen, right now, you can get these games digitally super cheap. Now, if you don't want to get them digitally, I get that, physical. I have them all physical, I think. But you can pick them up in sales physically for sub £20 for each collection. Why, Anton, tell me if I'm wrong here, but does that not just seem a lot of money?
Oh, yeah, it's an awful deal, and it's Ubisoft shooting themselves in the foot, because they are very aggressive at sales. So who knows, maybe this collection will go on sale itself and it will be a good deal. But at its current price of $9.99, it's an awful deal. And I would even argue that you could get them physically cheaper, because I've picked up my Assassin's Creed 3 just on Amazon for like a tenner. I've seen the Rebel Collection for like £20, and I think the retail price, so not even a sale price for the Ezio Collection, is £34-35. So even at fairly common prices, you're getting these very, very easily cheaper.
It's such
a weird decision. I mean, have they done this deliberately to get people talking about it in a weird PR sense? People go, oh, yeah, I could buy them cheaper individually, and then we all go and buy them individually. Is that what they're getting at? I have no idea.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense to me. I don't know.
The only thing I can theorize is the anniversary came up, and then, like, an internal team was, like, task with things they could do to celebrate the anniversary, and they just chucked a bundle in the list for, you know, brownie points for management to be like, oh, they're doing so much for the Assassin's Creed anniversary.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm flummoxed at the price, I must admit. If they'd said 50 quid, I'd have gone, that's a pretty good deal, you know, for a physical collection. But is it digital as well?
Digital only.
Yeah, it's mad. I don't get it. Like, literally, these games were on sale for, like, you know, half the price just recently. Anyway, it is time for Turbo Mode. I'm kind of annoyed that we're doing the first story in Turbo Mode, not as just its own story, because I'm really excited about it, but I'll...
Why you talk about it? Why you do your bit?
Well, exactly. All right. Are you ready for me to fire through these stories and then for you to comment on the ones that you wish?
No.
That was very loud, Alistair. I think you might have burst.
I'm getting in the zone of your no game, Mike.
But yeah, that's very good. You can say no in that game, by the way. You can say no in different ways. You can say it in an angry way. You can say it in a lazy way. You can go, no. You can say it in a flamboyant
way.
Lazy,
that was like a sexy no.
Well, okay, I can't help it. It's just who I am. There's also a flamboyant no where you can go, no, like this. There's all sorts of different no's.
That's so. Horsey no.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, I'm going to stop talking because it is time for Turbo Mode, and I'm going to fly through these stories and then we're going to discuss them in more detail.
Yes.
Smurf Carts has a release date of November the 15th, 2022. Fire Emblem's JP Twitter account has showcased Marth for Fire Emblem Engage, and the Twitter account also unveiled two new characters, Clan and Fram. Pokemon Center USA now sells a trainer-sized Sveal plush. Sveal? Is that how you pronounce it? For $449.99. A lot of money. The Pokemon Company have shared a trailer for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet focused on a new Pokemon called Wigglet. Love that name. They are pure water type and is unrelated to Diglett, which is kind of sad, but, you know... Great names. Fans are puzzled as they await a missing Star Wars Knight of the Old Republic 2 Sith Lord DLC that Aspyr Media promised would be arriving in Q3. I did read about this one this week. Capcom Fighting Collection has a free quality of life update, which we always like, adding new gem colours, opponent connection status UI, viewable hitboxes and various bug fixes. Nintendo have shared the 9-minute credits for Dragalia Lost. The credits. Terraria has an extra final update called Labor of Love, adding tons of new features, content, and quality of life improvements. Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 get updates, adding Korean, Chinese simplified, and Chinese traditional as in-game display and subtitle languages. Bayonetta has also been delayed in Europe, now coming out in the first half of October exclusively on my Nintendo store. Okay. Fans translate the fictional Zonai script in The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom trailer, translating to "When the sun shines, the moon shines. When the moon shines, the stars shine. When the sun sets, the moon turns red. Daylight comes and goes, but the sun never shines." Which is all very cryptical. I have lots to talk about in that, but I'm going to go to Alistair first.
You know what? Actually, this week, going through Turbo Mode, I was going, there's really very little of any interest in this list from the week. There's not been that much of great excitement. But I do want to talk about this Pokemon stuff, because I do think that's quite cool. I mean, the massive great big plushie of the Sveal, giant round seal. It's a sphere, it's a seal, it's a Sveal.
Clarify, it's just trainer size. Are we talking trainer as in a Pokemon trainer, or are we talking about a shoe?
Not like sneaker size, like right, person okay. size. And it is huge. It is
confused me. Confused me.
Massive and adorable. I was thinking that. And like, lovely and cute, but by lordy, $450. I mean, it's some cloth and some stuffing and a little bit of IP. Okay, quite a lot of IP. But that is insane. It is utterly insane, and I love the fact it exists in the world. I have no idea who's going to buy that, except very, very rich Pokemon fans. And I quite like what they've done with Wigglet. So I love they've taken this theory of crabs in the real world. There's several different species of crabs that have all evolved into crabs from different directions, and they've all kind of just appeared in the same ideas, and they all create like what things that look like crabs, but they're unrelated. And basically, that's what Wigglet is. Wigglet looks exactly like Diglett, but a slightly different color and is supposed to
that
be...
That is very cool. It I was going to say, so because cool. I know the theory of the crabs and how there are many, many different types of crabs that come from very different lines and lineage and all that. And it's fascinating.
I love the fact they've taken this idea from real life and put it into Pokemon. And all they've done really is take Diglett and change the colour of it. But they've gone, it's not related to Diglett. And we all go, what? And then you go, ah, I like what you did there. I learned something.
There's some amazing... animal stories of animals that you think are related or are the same animal but are completely different, just happen to look the same despite the fact that, you know, you would think they're exactly the same. They're not. They're from completely, and they're not even related. They're not even close to related. Some are from one species. And anyway, that I think that's very brilliant. Very cool. Yeah, that is a great thing.
I do want to talk about the Smurfs racing, the kart racing, but I'm going to bite my tongue until after you've had your say. Come back to me on that. For now, move on to Anton.
Yeah, it's a similar thoughts to yourself, Alistair, about the state of the union for this week. I think what is nice is that new Terraria update was a surprise. There's been several updates for that game where they're like, we're never making another update, this is the last one. But then they also sold 43 million copies, so they keep on pouring money and time into it. And for like a final little extra thing, it's a huge amount of content. I'm very impressed with the care and love the team's put into that title. The new Fire Emblem stuff looks cool, even though I struggle to understand it. It's like when you're chatting to your friends that's got a new job in a field you don't understand, and they're talking about like thermodynamics, and you're like, oh, I have no idea what you're on about. It's like that, but for this video game. I'm proud of them, but I don't understand it. But I'm very, very proud of them. I'm happy for the franchise. And yeah, you know, very excited to see Bayonetta's finally coming together and they're tying the franchise together and getting it ready for a new audience, and hopefully it finds a new fan base. It's kind of amazing that we're only now just getting a physical copy of Bayonetta, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like we already had that.
It's bizarre, isn't it? I kind of took a second to really figure that out in my head because I was like, what? But yeah, absolutely makes sense. Just on Smurfs carts, it's just so funny. I mean, it's the game we've all been waiting for, right? Smurfs Kart. I mean, all those Smurfs fans, all those children that are big fans of the Smurfs. I'm assuming there is a new version of the Smurfs. There's usually a new version of most cartoons. But either way, it looks kind of fun. The only thing I will say is it is literally Mario Kart, but like skinned differently. I mean, it's like the trailer's like items like Mario Kart, ramps like Mario Kart, carts like Mario Kart, and it just goes on like this, and I'm like, what's different? Nothing.
Thank you. That's exactly, I was watching going, the first thing goes start boost, it's like Mario Kart's got that, and it's got ramps, like, yeah, and speed boost, yep, shortcuts, yep. It's like, stop saying everything that's in Mario Kart, be original.
I mean,
to be fair, the game does look fine. It actually looks like quite a good kart racer. I actually don't mind it. Be original. Come up with at least one unique thing. One thing that isn't Mario Kart. And I got to the end of the trailer and went, nope, they didn't. They're just doing Mario Kart.
And it's even got the two, it's got the two items that you can hold. and you've got them in order. And I mean, yeah,
instead of a shell, you chuck an acorn. And even the acorn is shell-shaped.
It is really funny because as soon as I watched it, that was my first thought. I was like, oh, cool. I wonder what they've got that's different. Because as you said, when you watch it, it's actually got a bit of speed about it. It feels like it's quite well done. I don't know what it's going to play like. Obviously, it could be terrible. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it's terrible. I hope it's not, but just come on. Like, can somebody not come up with something original? Double Dash, there you go. or Sonic Unleashed, when they went into the air and they kind of, the second one wasn't as good. Yeah, not Sonic Unleashed, Sonic Transformed, that was the one. All-Star Racing. Anyway, apart from that, I love the Wiglet, Diglett, and hopefully they'll come up with Piglet and others in the future. That's cool. I like that a lot. I did read quite a few people being very confused about the Knights of the Old Republic and not getting the DLC that was promised because they just didn't say anything. They haven't said anything about it. It was just, there was a release date and nobody said it's delayed. It just didn't come, just didn't arrive. So
they just forgot about it, frankly.
It's quite possible. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on in the world, so I can understand that. And yeah, apart from that, the other stuff is interesting, but as you say, nothing particularly life-changing in there. I do think that one comment I do have, though, is quality of life improvements. It's becoming the new buzzword in the industry for any update. It's like, don't worry, we've got some new stuff. We're not going to tell you what it is, but we've got quality of life improvements. And that is a good thing. But I just worry that that's going to be the new thing that we're going to hear a lot of in the next year or so, Anton.
Yeah, it's amazing how many games I've played and they've done a new update. And the most exciting thing is they've fixed the UI. We're truly moving into a new age of gaming when, like, oh, you know, we've made it faster to do this one option in the menus. Like, just looking back even to, like, the PS2 era, it was like you had the menu and it was like single player, multiplayer, options. Never mind going back further in time, but I guess that's the era of gaming we're in. I remember they spent like a good point in like the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Direct was just about them having like a more usable UI and the quality of life improvement that brought.
Yep, quality of life improvement. I'm telling you, that is the buzzword. It is time now for rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
No, I say rumours, but really it's just the one. It's Amazon Canada have leaked Jack's...
I think that might be a typo. Presumably it's supposed to say Canada, is it not?
Well, listen, if you write Canada, I'm going to say Canada. Amazon Canada have leaked Jack's specific toys for Illumination Super Mario Bros. Movie, featuring toys for Mario, Luigi, Bowser, Toad, and a Mini World van playset. I mean, I don't know who's in charge of Canada, but they really need to get their Amazon together. What is going on here? And is it... Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's toys. It's a tie-in. We were always going to get this. How are we feeling about the movie, Al?
I mean, we all know that I'm very excited about it. And to be fair, I think this is kind of a fun leak because, I mean, we found out back in February that there were going to be toys being made by Jak Specific. It's not really new news, but at least now we kind of have an idea of what they're producing in terms of the action figures. We know a bit about them. We know they're going to have 12 points of hidden articulation and come with an accessory and collector's packaging. So we've got a few bits and pieces here. But there's been a few other toys and goodies that leaked on Tinterwebs. We know that we're getting a Super Mario Uno set. It's very exciting. There'll be more coming our way, and we don't really have long to wait. I think we've only... Is it the 6th of October we're getting the teaser trailer coming at... I'm going to say it's Comic-Con or one of these ones. Anton will keep me straight on that. And I, for one, I'm really looking forward to it. I know I was making fun of Chris Pratt for saying he was blown away by it, because it can't be that good. It's a teaser trailer. But I am quite psyched. I really want this movie to be good.
I'm very intrigued. That's my word, I would say. I'm intrigued by it. Anton, are you excited for the teaser trailer?
Oh, yeah. Whether or not it's bad or good, it's going to be entertaining. And I'm sure the memes will make lemonade out of lemons, even if it is a dud. The thing that I found interesting here is the Mini World van set. So I'm wondering if this is like a fold-out van. And I was like, Mario having a van makes sense, which is going to be fun because the last animated movie Chris Pratt was in, he was like a guitarist with a van. So this might be part of some Chris Pratt animated van CU. It's very interesting stuff here.
This is a Chris Pratt related Easter egg of a van. Is this what we're talking about here?
It's the van cinematic universe. It's going to be all the characters Chris Pratt plays with a van. It would fit in Guardians of the Galaxy. There was a van in the Avengers. It's all coming together.
Van in Parks and Rec? I can't remember.
Yes. Chris Pratt van CU. It's happening.
I bow to your superior knowledge on the times that Chris Pratt has been in a van, but either way, it's
I think he lived in a van in real life for a while too.
Possibly.
Genuinely. Maybe together, that's how it ties into our universe.
Maybe that was when he was touring Canada. Now, it is... It is... Okay, that's it for the rumours, by the way. Just the one this week. But it is time for the return of, I should say, the quiz.
I have so many questions.
Hooray! We're back! Oh, I have missed the quiz so much. I've been desperate to see who would get the next point. Because well, it's so close. It's
well, we're getting
9 and Mike 8. It's this, all to play for.
This was my tactic to keep it close to the end of the year, was to just disappear for 10 weeks. And then whatever happens, we'd get to October, which we're in now, and I'd still be in with a shout. So that's kind of fun.
See, I'm pretty sure what you've been doing for the last 10, 11 weeks is just cramming video game knowledge. You've been sitting
definitely
on Wikipedia
not.
Reading
definitely
every
not.
Video game that ever existed.
No, definitely not. I can confirm I have not been doing that, unfortunately. I wish I had now. I'm wasting my time.
Let's see how you chaps get on with this week's ones. Let's start with the first game. This one was a social video game on the Wii, and that's all I'm going to give you.
Oh, I had this. I definitely had this. Wii Play Park.
No.
Is it My Sims Life?
It is not. It was released in October 2010.
Miitopia.
Nope.
Later. Okay. Interesting. Is it Poke Park?
No, it's not. It was also released on the 360, the PS3, and the DS.
Oh.
So it's not a Nintendo exclusive.
Okay. Okay. That throws a spanner in the works. So you said it's a social game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would describe it that way. I mean, there's other ways of describing it.
Okay.
Is it
Rock Band? Beatles.
I'm not Rock Band Beatles. Nope.
Oh, come on.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, that's not fair because I can't comment now and I've literally, oh my goodness.
Anton looks like he's looking at screens, he's quickly googling things.
No. Hands are here. Guitar Hero World Tour.
It's not. It was the last in the series on a Nintendo console.
Lego Rock Band.
It is not.
Rock Band 3?
Hey! Ding, 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 ding.
Honestly.
The clues were very specifically about Rock Band 3, not about any of the other ones. And if I got further down the list, you would have gotten to some really specific things. But we didn't, because Anton got it. Oh, Mike looks angry already. I've missed his face.
I hate you. I hate you.
See, this is why everyone listens to the show. This is why we all love the quiz, because you get such a hard time and you react so well to it.
Yeah. Speechless. Speechless.
To be fair, when I was researching this one, there were a couple of little facts that I did not know about. Did you know there's the reality TV show created on VH1 that featured people playing this game judged by Alice Cooper and Sebastian Bach? Did you know that?
Love that.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
I can kind of imagine that quite, because it was so big. Guitar Hero, Rock Band, all that stuff was so big for a while, and some people were unbelievable at it. I mean, my brother was a proper like nerd out of Guitar Hero. He was just insane. Like, the hardest tracks he could pretty much 100% them, and he was one of those that if he'd done it on YouTube, he'd have been YouTube famous for it. But it's I'm just gutted I didn't say three, because I was like, well, I can't be, I don't know, that just sounds too easy. I've got it right now, but no. Anyway, move on before I start throwing things.
Okay, let's change gear a little bit. This next game, it's an often overlooked Mario game. That's all I'm telling. All I'm saying. Go for it.
An often overlooked Mario game. Oh, yep. Flip. Dr. Mario.
No.
Hotel Mario.
No.
That was my other one.
First party Nintendo title.
Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
Nope.
Let me go for the memory banks. Mario teaches typing.
It is not. It is a platformer.
Super Mario Bros.
No. It's not really overlooked.
No, I meant like the very, very original one.
No, it's not.
Oh, Mario Bros. It wasn't Super.
Super Mario Run.
Hey, he's 2 for 2.
Oh. Well done.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'd completely forgotten it existed. I was just scrolling through my phone the other day and went, oh, I forgot about that. I can use that as a game. Why not in the quiz?
Mobile games don't count.
I never said what platform it was on. I just said it was a Mario game. And it's Nintendo. Therefore, it counts. It's fodder for this quiz.
I'm still pretty salty about the Rock Band thing, so I'll let Anton have that one, but the first one I'm still not sure about.
Well, Mike, Anton's obviously won, but when it comes to the closest to the pin...
Obviously.
Would you like to go first or second? I will give you
first,
a choice.
Why not? I might as well. What have I got to lose? Nothing, because you've already cheated me out of a point. So we'll go for me first.
Okay, Mike. What year was Monkey Puncher released?
Oh, Monkey Puncher, we've all been there. Monkey Puncher, that feels like it's a flash game online, and I'm going to say 2007.
Anton.
All right, 2006.
He has absolutely knocked it out of the park on this one. It was actually a 2000 Game Boy Color.
Oh, oh well,
so
fair enough.
So that's 3-3 for Anton. Mike, you need... I know this is your first episode back, but you really need to try.
I mean, actually,
if I did your report card, it would be must try harder.
I think if I had your report card, it would be sacked. So, anyway.
See?
Rock Band.
Rock Band 3, Mike.
Yes, but you also, all you gave as a clue was social game, and I came up with Rock Band, and Anton went in there and went, well, clearly it's Rock Band 3, which is very annoying, but never mind.
Well, actually, first he said, is a Rock Band World Tour? And he was wrong.
Actually, he said Guitar Hero World Tour, but never mind.
Close enough.
You know,
yeah.
It feels like my duty to do well on this quiz, because I feel like if we get ahead, if you get ahead, you'll run away and then keep it right up until the final episode. And I can't let that happen. It's my duty to the audience.
I'm not going to lie. It's 9-7 to you now. But if I get to 10-9, or if I get
it's,
like...
It's 10-8.
10-8. So if I get to 11-10, then I am not... gonna lie, I will not be back on the podcast until 2023, which to a lot of people is probably a really good thing. They're probably going to message and go, Anton, can you please let him win the next 3 weeks so we don't have to listen to Moan every week, because he's talked about Rock Band at least 50 times. So so it's, you know, it's up to you how you want to play it, but I just want to win the quiz. So it's
to be fair, Mike, I mean, this year there's no weird scoring things going on or anything like that. You were genuinely competing head-to-head with Anton, and you're so close.
Yeah.
You should be proud of yourself. I mean, I could not do that. And that's basically in previous seasons, neither of us have come anywhere close to beating him.
No, I know.
Even
I know.
With dodgy scoring. So give yourself a massive pat on the back. Anton knows every game ever made on any platform, including the obscure ones.
You know, he does. And to be fair, Anton is... the Wikipedia of the show when it comes to gaming. So I'm more than happy with that. I'm just not more than happy with question one today, but that's okay. We're moving on. And I'm going to be adult about it, and I'm going to be mature. Right, before we finish, just a huge thank you to everyone for downloading the show. It's really appreciated. And we do this because we enjoy doing it. We don't make any profit from it. We don't make any money from it. It all goes back into the team, goes back into the show and the Patreons and everything else. So a huge thank you to all of our supporters, particularly the Patreons who go that extra mile. If you want to join up, Al, where can people go?
Probably head to the website, www.nsukp.co.uk/support-us. And of course, if you just want to drop us an email because, you know, we said something stupid, or you want to ask a question, or frankly, you're lonely, drop us a line, podcast@nsukp.co.uk, and I will pick it up and reply.
Indeed. And if you all want to reach out via the mobile ways, we're also on social media. That is NSUK Podcast. That is Twitter. And we've got the YouTube. That is also NSUK Podcast, where you can check out Mike's review of Caffeine Victoria Legacy. We also recently had a review out for Pokemon Legends Arceus from a first-time Pokemon player's perspective. Tons of great stuff there. And we're so close to 300 subs. So if you haven't checked out, help us get over the threshold. It would be exciting stuff.
Yeah, and I promise for the next season, I'm making this promise now, and you can refer to this episode. Which episode is this, by the way? What's the number?
179.
179. Okay, you can refer to episode 179 at 57 minutes in. I am going to tell you now that I will record some new music for all the various shows for our Patreons before the next season. So I'm throwing it out there, okay?
Exciting.
Wow.
Silence. They're like, oh, do you have to? We've heard the last call theme tune. We don't need another one. But that's fine. We'll get there. Yeah, huge thanks again. Lovely to be back. And we will see you soon. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.